Here tonight. If you have your Bible, you say, oh boy, we're in for it tonight. You sure might be. 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to just for a few moments preach on trust in God. Trust in God. It's a good phrase, Bible phrase, very trustworthy to be looking at this here tonight, dealing with Elijah. I'm not only going to just deal with Elijah, but a widow. And so let's do some reading here. We'll probably be all over the chapter, but I'm just read maybe the first 7-8 verses here, and then we'll get into our lesson tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17, and it says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now, Ahab is the king, and to pick some of the context up, it's going through the kings here in 1 Kings. And it lands here, and we're right here, Ahab. Ahab was married to Jezebel, who's a king here, the part of Israel. But he tells Ahab, and he said unto Ahab here in verse 1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening, and Father, I ask that you would be with me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would be with your word as it goes out. Be with your people that have come out. And Father, I pray that you would just continue to bless. Continue to watch over us. And Father, I pray that you would answer our prayer petition that we've faithfully put before you. And Father, we know you're a God that answers prayer and will deliver and will answer. And Father, be with our minds and our hearts tonight. Give us a blessing from your word. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Because Elijah had preached the word unto Ahab the king, he'd become a target of Ahab and Jezebel's anger. And we won't develop the whole story for Elijah here, but this part here, it's probably more than likely that he had a number of the people in the area that were not happy with him as well, because there was going to be no rain for some time. It's going to be a drought. So I want to notice a few things. We'll read on. We'll probably land down somewhere about 16 or verse 17 to complete what we're going to look at tonight, but we're all somewhat familiar with what takes place here. This is the area where God tells Elijah, you need to go down to the brook Cherith and you need to stay there. And I'm going to sustain your life by ravens. They're going to bring you your food and you're going to drink from that brook Cherith. And God sustained him there for some while. So I want to see, first of all, looking at this right off the top, and we're going to deal with trusting God. And we break this down in verse 3. He says there, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. I keep thinking of the word of the Lord when it comes to his prophets, when it comes to his men or his people. It's what are they going to do with what God tells them to do? And so here we see he tells Elijah to go to Cherith, this brook Cherith, and we see that Elijah's obedience was proof of his trust in God. He trusted God because he obeyed God. And so we see here, it's amazing what the Bible says in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I remember quoting that somebody said, well, I just don't quite believe that Old Testament. That's for the Old Testament. That's not for us today. I said, well, it's Scripture. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine and reproof and instruction in righteousness. Both of us can learn something from that, and trusting in yourself isn't going to get you very far in this life and in the world as well. Here, Elijah, he listens to God, and so he goes to the brook Cherith, and we see that. But as you see, as the days go on, there comes a time when the refuge that he has here by this brook and these ravens is no longer going to sustain him or provide for Elijah. So guess what happens next? We look down in verse 7, there's something else. And it's neat how God is watching out for his people. And he says here, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So now, what are we going to do? We're where God tells us we should be. We're doing what God has told us to do. And that seems to be working out. But then all of a sudden, there comes a day when that is not going to work out anymore. There's no more water. And then the food stops coming. And so here we begin to deal with what's going to take place. Well, look at verse 8. And we look here that God has some more instructions for Elijah. And we get another direction of where Elijah is at. And this gets if you study where he tells him to go, we'll get into that. It's kind of unique. He gets a little bit closer to the people he doesn't really want to be close to. But we'll see here. Notice with me in verse 8, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now notice what he does. So God tells him, look, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. And so he goes there and he stays there for a while, and then that dries up. God tells him, now look, I want you to go to Zarephath. This is what I want you to do. And there's a widow there that's going to sustain thee. You can imagine what was running through Elijah's mind at that point. But we see in verse 10 what he does. Let's see what he does. Does he trust the Lord or doesn't he? Well, we'll see. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he had come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." So here you see what happens. Even when it doesn't make any human sense, any sense to us, and probably to Elijah. Elijah followed God's direction a second time. And through it, God reveals his power. We're going to see him work not only in Elijah's life, but in this widow's life and her household. And we see that Elijah here obeyed again. I think right here we could ask, are we fully trusting in God? Are we obeying him in every area of our life? Or are there areas in our life that they're untouchable? God, I don't know if God understands that as well as I do, or I don't want him involved in that part of my life. Or you automatically know that what you're doing or what's in your life isn't of God or right. And you know if you took it to God, what God would do. Number one, God would probably give you some orders or instructions by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God what to do with it. But the question is, am I fully trusting God and obeying him in every area in my life? Well, is there anything I'm holding back because I do not see maybe the full picture that God sees? A lot of times we make our decisions ourselves because we don't see things the way God sees them. And we just don't quite have that trust. Tonight I'm saying, you can trust God. You can trust God even when you're not able to see the end of the game, if you please, or see the end of the outcome of what you're involved in or what he's telling you to do. I can remember back about 2010, God began to deal with me about preaching, surrendering to the call to preach. And so I began to, I would say, maybe ignore it. Because it was ever so gentle and soft, so it was just kind of like, no, it's just me maybe thinking about it, but it never went away. And every time it come up, it would be a little bit more clearer, a little bit more nudge, more of a direction in that direction. You say, what did you do? Well, I eventually come to a decision where I didn't know the full outcome, what was going to happen, but God had brought me to a place, kind of like Elijah or this widow here, to where there was a crossroads. You're either going to go your way, and you're going to fully ignore what God is telling you or putting on your heart, or you're going to obey God. And so you obey God. You should obey God. You say, why? Because you can trust God. I didn't know the end of it. I didn't know where I was going to end up. I didn't know. I had no idea. And I was scared of that. There was a fear there. And I can imagine what Elijah and maybe this widow, we'll see a little bit of how the widow reacts and her response as we move on. But let me say this, Elijah was not the only one in this story. There was a widow here, and notice what takes place here. God, her name's not recorded here, but God certainly took care of her needs and took care of her household. And we're going to see this. Number one, I want to get into this Zarephath. In verse 9, notice with me, it says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So her residence, I want to notice this as I read about this place. The town of Zarephath was a Mediterranean town about 7 miles south of Zidon. Now, this was also the hometown of Jezebel's father, and it was a pagan city at this time. It was wholly given over to idolatry. So you can imagine the setting. You think, well, how would God use somebody in this place at this time, in this famine, and a widow to boot, to take care of one of God's prophets, one of God's men? And we see that her residence was in Zarephath. Now we look at her resources. Let's read on. If you notice with me in verse 12. And so in verse 10, you see something unfold here. Elijah asks her, or commands her. He said he called to her in verse 10. He says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now, verse 12, and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and undress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." So we see her resources. There was not a lot there. This widow didn't have enough to keep herself or her son alive very long, one time. And you think, well, what could God do with such a meager elements there? A little oil, and a cruse of oil, it says. And it says a little meal, a handful of meal. Well, I got to thinking, the question is never about what we have that God can use. Sometimes people put that question there, but that's not really the question. It's how tightly we're holding on to what we have already. See, God knows what you have, because everything that you and I have, it belongs to God anyway. But it's what we allow to let go of to be used of God. And we're going to see this widow woman, what she does with this and how she's going to respond. We know how Elijah's responded. God told him to go down to the brook Cherith and stay there for a while, and he sustained him. Then that dried up. Then he said, go to Zarephath, and there's going to be a widow woman down there that's going to sustain thee. And so now we're down there. We're looking at where she's actually really at. Can God use somebody like that? Then we're looking at her resources. Now we're going to look at her reasoning. Let's look at verse 12 a little bit closer, and we're going to examine some things. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son." So number one, we see that she does not have faith. This is her approach, her viewpoint, how she's looking at her circumstances. It was faithless. There wasn't a lot of faith in it. Not only that, it lacked vision. Her vision was only that one meal, and that was it, because from what she had, the elements that she had here, or substance, it wasn't going to last maybe but one meal. It was a natural look. Oft times, when storms arise and that tempest begins to blow and you get yourself into a situation, you want to naturally look at it in a human way, a natural way. Why? Because we normally call the shots in our life. That's why. If God's in control, you're going to say, "God, I'm going to put this in your hands. I can't see this. I don't think I can even, I don't have the strength to muster these decisions. I need your help. I need your help." And you say, "What can you?" You can trust God, but it takes some faith. It takes some faith, and we're going to look at that as we develop this. Trusting God is a supernatural. It's not just a physical thing that we do. It's like putting in a coin and a thing, and you get a little. It's faith. It takes faith. It's supernatural according to Scripture. That's why He tells us to trust Him without leaning on our own understanding. We read Proverbs 3:5, but verse 6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It's not just some of the ways. It's not just the good days. It's not just the sunshiny moments, but it's all of them. All of them, we should put our knowledge in God. You say, why? Because we can trust God. You can trust God tonight. So here we're seeing this widow, is she does has a natural look at what's taking place here in verse 12. Most Christians claim they trust God, but it's only when the storms of life arise that they really know if our trust is in word only or if it's in the foundation of our hearts that we truly believe and trust God. Now, I understand that's easier said than done, because there's things you go through in your life that you've probably been through when it's hard to make that connection and give it to God, all of it. And so, but you can look back trusting in God, and now you can look back and see that God was in your life directing you, giving you wisdom, and giving you the understanding to get through that moment. Here we see that her reasoning, though, was natural. It was not supernatural. It was not spiritual. And so we see now as we develop this, notice with me in verse 13, we're going to see this kind of change. Notice what Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me after, make for thee and for thy son." So we see here, I want to say the triumph of faith. This is going to take some faith. Remember that Elijah was in a humbling position himself. Imagine, he didn't have a lot. Then he goes to this place and you have this widow woman and her son, and they're getting ready to make their last meal. And so he says, well, you need to make mine first and then make yours and your son's. And so you think, wow, what is going on? Well, this is kind of crazy. It's going to take some faith out of both of them here. And we see the request from the prophet. The request from the prophet in verse 13 was, you make mine first. And God calls, you say, something that stuck out to me is God does the same thing to you and I from Scripture. He calls for our first fruits. We were just in Proverbs chapter 3. You know, I told you about the young man that said Proverbs chapter 3 is not for him, it's for the Old Testament. Well, it's for us. And here's what the Bible says if you read down in that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst with new wine. This is a promise and a commandment from God. You say, is it still good today? It's still good today. You say, how do you know that? Because you can trust God. You can trust God. Here, Elijah was willing to trust God. This widow woman was willing to trust God. She's trusting what the man of God had to say. All we have comes from God. Our willingness to give back to Him first is a statement of our trust in God. Say, I trust God. What are you willing to give Him? How much of your heart does He have? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about your relationship and your burden to do the things God lays on your heart to do. It's all about, God says, my work, my way, my will is people. So we're to minister. We're the ministers of God. We're to minister and witness and to share the gospel and to be a light and to be salt to the world. You can imagine what God might have you or call you to do. So how much of it do we give to God? It's a statement of our trust in God. It's a statement of your faith, how much faith you have in God. We're not talking about having the preacher. We're not talking about faith in the church. We're not talking about faith in one another. We're talking about faith towards God. Faith towards God. And so we see here, what is the response of this widow in verse 15? Notice with me. Now, we haven't read these, but for the sake of time, notice with me. She says in verse 15 in our text, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. You say, well, how did that happen? Number one, it happened because she was willing to trust God. It was obedience. It was faith in something she had probably never done before, and she obeyed because she trusted God. And so the response of the widow, it was at this crossroads where the widow triumphed by faith. The verse in Psalms 37 in verse 25 says, I have been young and now am I old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Matthew chapter 10, I'm reminded, let me turn over to Matthew because I want to show this to you. It was part of a verse that I looked up. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to swing over there. I'll read him to you if you don't turn quick enough. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to look at verse 40 and 41. Verse 41 first, he says, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." You say, what are you talking about there? This verse, I'm going to give a spiritual application, but when you get into Matthew, you got to be careful. There's two applications here. The first is the doctrinal application. The doctrinal application is to the apostles and the gospels that they were preaching at the time this was written. The second one is prophetical. It's looking to the future, and it's looking at the end time of the tribulation with how the nations or the individuals dealt with the Jewish people in the tribulation. And God's going to judge those that treated them wrong. That's the doctrinal and the prophetical. You say, what's the spiritual? Look at verse 40. He says, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." So here you say, what's going on? That spoke to Elijah and that widow. She didn't have to receive anything that man of God, Elijah, had to say. She could have said, well, that's what you want, but I'm telling you, I only got enough meal and enough oil to make cake for me and my son. I don't know what you're going to eat. But she didn't. She obeyed. You say, what happened? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40 says she received the words of that prophet. She received the words of the prophet. She was going to receive a blessing from God. And that's exactly what happened when we read in verse 15. It says that in her house, she and he, speaking of Elijah, and her house did eat many days. And so there you could find a meal. You could show up. It was a drought time, no rain. Probably there wasn't a lot of food anywhere. But if you showed up at her house, you were going to get something to eat. You say, why? Because she could trust God. Tonight, you can trust God. God is a God you can trust. So here the response was a good response, a biblical response, and it was filled with faith. Faith was put into it. But lastly, we see the resource supplied in verse 16. "And the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." You say, how did that happen? That happens because it was a God that Elijah could trust, and it was a God that this widow woman could trust. God was able to resource the supply there many days. The Bible in the New Testament, it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's for you and I today. God is able to supply your needs. God knows your needs. He says, he talks about the lilies of the field and how they're arrayed. And then he talks about the sparrow. He gives some illustration of his creation. And he says, "I clothe them. I take care of them. Even when they die, I know them." He says, so if he knows his creation, how much more does he know man? He knows the frailty of man, and he knows your needs. He knows the supplies that you need. God is able to supply all your needs according to the riches of glory. And so we see God's resources have not dwindled for us today, but he still calls us to trust him. You say, well, I thought I would just show up. God wants that relationship. He wants you to call and ask him, and he wants obedience out of every one of us. Here, lastly, God honors faith. The storms of life will come. You'll probably find out real quick, I'm not an optimist. So prepare you that there are storms, because I know life. I know how life is. Those that are older in here, you've been through some stuff. And it wasn't always a bed of roses or on a cloud. There's some storms that you've weathered and you've went through. They will be different for each one of us. We're not all going to go through the same storm. They're going to be different. But they will always expose the foundation of our trust when you go through them. We will need to hold fast to God's promises and God's faith and God's strength. Because then that proves where our faith is at and our foundation is at for trusting God. Tonight, you can trust God. Let's all stand. Dealing with this foundation that we should have. We looked last Wednesday night on a relationship with God. Tonight, we're looking at trusting God. You can trust God tonight. It's the same God. That's some years between that story there with Elijah and the widow till now, but it's the same God. Still able to sustain and keep you moving forward. We have a song tonight, Brother Jeff. Will we go?